So we're on the Mishnah on Daf Lamed He Amud Aleph. And the Mishnah says the following. Nisgalgel chutz l'tchum. So he puts his Eruv 2,000 Amah beyond the last house in the city. And now the wind comes and blows the Eruv, and the Eruv is beyond 2,000 Amos. We'll talk about the Arba Amos, that extra radius, later, but this is one case where he has no access to his Eruv at Bein HaShemashos because it's outside of the Tchum of Shabbos. Therefore, the Eruv is invalid. Now, I'm going to come back to this in just a second. Let's just finish the Mishnah. We're adding that word. Another scenario is Nafal Olav Gal. There was an avalanche of stones that fell onto the Eruv. Another case. Nisraf. A fire broke out and burnt his Eruv. Truma v'nitmes. He had set Truma Tahora as the Eruv, but now a sheretz fell on the Truma and it became Tomei. Mibo Jom, if this all took place, any of the above, before Bein HaShemashos, is Edo Eruv. He cannot be Kona Shvisa in the Mokav of his Eruv because with the onset of Shabbos he has no access to his Eruv. But Misha Chashecha, if there was one moment of Bein HaShemashos where the Eruv was accessible and then it got burnt or it got avalanched by stones or it got blown beyond the Tchum or it became Truma Tmeya, is then Hareza Eruv. The Eruv is valid. Now, let's go back for a moment to the beginning of the Mishnah and the case of Nisgalgel Chutz L'Tchum. So he has no access to his Eruv because it's beyond the Tchum of Shabbos. He quotes Akasha here from the Tosus HaRosh. Yesh lahakshol sheyochol adam lotzeis mibein hashmashos chutz l'tchum v'litol es Eruvo. At that moment of Bein HaShemashos, he could have gone chutz l'tchum. Why? Because we're holding that tchum, to go beyond your tchum, is only a rabbinic enactment. And Bein HaShemashos, according to Rebbe, we don't have any rabbinic isurim that apply, so then the Eruv was accessible to him at Bein HaShemashos. Again, two premises. Premise number one is that going chutz l'tchum is an isur d'rabbanan. Premise number two is that Rebbe is the author of our Mishnah, and Rebbe holds that chutz, that any d'rabbanan is inapplicable during Bein HaShemashos. So why does the Mishnah disqualify this Eruv, claiming that the Eruv is inaccessible because the wind carried it chutz l'tchum? That's not really true, because if we combine those two premises, then he has access to his Eruv. So the Tosa Rush says that Ha'eruv eino chal kevet sheim yochul nimtza sh'adam omed michutz l'tchum. He says a very sharp idea. He says that if you validate the Eruv, it's because wherever the Eruv flew, he had access to that Eruv, which would mean that he would be Konish Visa exactly where that Eruv is. Well, that's a problem, because he's going back home, and he wants to be Konish Visa in a place which is within the Tchum, to give him another 2,000 Amah. But he can't do so, because if the Eruv flew outside of the Tchum, and now he has access to that Eruv because there's no Isur of Yitzia Chutz L'Tchum according to Rebbe Ben Ashmoshos, then imagine that he had ran out of the Tchum in order to get access to his Erev. That's where he would be Konish Visa. That's where his Erev would be Chal. But you can't have an Erev that's more than 2,000 Am away from your house. Very sharp. Let's go on in the Mishnah. Vim Safek. Let's say this Erev had a problem. It was blown away by the wind. But we don't know. Was it blown away by the wind before Ben Ashmoshos, or Mishach HaSheikh after it got dark? Or this avalanche of stones, when did it actually take place? So what do you do in a case of Suffolk? So I'm going to skip for just a second Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. Let's just fast forward to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon. Suffolk Erev Kosher. The whole institution of Erev is all rabbinic. The requirement of setting up an Erev at the end of the Tchum of 2,000 Amma is a rabbinic requirement, and the Rabbanan said, Sofik the Rabbanan Lekula. If you don't know whether the Erev is valid or not, then we will validate the Erev. Good. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda Omrim, now we backtrack, Hareza Chamar Gamal. In other words, Sofik Lechumra. Now, the way that Chazal formulate or transmit the idea of Safik L'chumra and Erevin is called Chamar Gamal. Chamar Gamal is a mushal of a driver of both a donkey and a camel. So he's got a donkey that's running ahead of him and a camel that's running behind him, and each one is pulling him in different directions. What is the Nimshal? He says the following, that where is he allowed to go on Shabbos? Well, he's being pulled in two directions. Why? Because on the tzad that the Erev is a valid Erev, let's say it flew off after Ben Hashmashos, then he's allowed to walk 2,000 amos, we'll call it west. I'm just giving an example. Right to the west. He can go 2,000 amas beyond where he set up his shvisa when he set up a valid Eruv. He'd be allowed to walk back to his house, but not 1 inch to the east of his house, because he was kona shvisa b'makom Eruvo. So he's got 2,000 amma back to the city limits, then 2,000 amma to his house. But if he would walk 1 inch to the right, if you find me, you know, going towards the east, then he's more than 4,000 amas away from his makom shvisa that he can't do. On the other hand, let's assume that the wind blew away his Erev before Ben Hashmashos. So then, he'd be allowed to go 2,000 amma to the east of his house, because he wasn't kona shvisa and ben hashmashos through this Eruv, and there's a tug of war here that's pulling him in two directions. I'll read to you the summary of Rashi. Hareyu ka'odam ha-molich b'derech hamar lefanov, so he's got a donkey in front of him, v'gamal me'achorov, and he's got a camel behind him, so he's holding on to the reins of these two animals. Shetzarach lifnos lefanov ulachorov. He's got to look towards the forward for his chamar. He's got to look towards the back and see if he can control the camel in the back. Klomar, what's the nimshal? Kevan sheini yodea im hoya eruvo kosher b'vein hashmoshos. He has no idea whether he was konish visa in the makom eruv, if it was valid. Nimtza shesafek hadavar. Im kona shvisa b'makom eruvo o b'beiso. Where was he kona shvisa? Was it where he set up the eruv, which is 2,000 amma outside of the tchum of his city, or was he kona shvisa in his house itself because the eruv is invalid? All of lachshosh l'shneim. Now he has to take all considerations, take everything into consideration. L'chein Right, he can't go east of his house, which is a further distance from his Erev. Maybe he's Kodesh Shvisa Mokame Ruvo. And therefore his bias is the Sofat Chum. And Kmochen on the other flip side, Asulo Lisrachek may Aver Le Eruv. He can't go 1 inch beyond the Eruv, because maybe the Eruv was invalid and he was Kodesh Shvisa Bebeso. And 1 inch beyond the Erev is already more than 2,000 Amma beyond his house. Lefichach eni ochel halech ela bealpayim ha'amo shebein beisol Erev. He is limited to the 2,000 Amma between his house and the Erev. So that, in a word, is called Safek Erev Lechumra, in a very sophisticated and complex way. And Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, as we said before, is Safek Erev Erev, because we're going to apply the principle of Safek Derabbanan Lekula, and therefore in each Safek, whether he's allowed to go further from the Eruv, or whether he's allowed to go further from his house, meaning beyond the Eruv another 2,000 Amma, we can always paskin in each Safek Lekula. Omar Rabbi Yossi of Tulmus, very interesting Greek sounding name, but he was a Chacham. Heid Mishum Chamishas Kedem, he quoted five different of the giants. This is in the Tanoim, Al Sofek Erev Shekosha, that they paskin like Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shim. Alright, now we're up to the Gemara. Nisgalgel Chutz L'Tchum, if the wind carried the Erev beyond the Tchum of Shabbos, Omer Rava Lo Shonu Ela Nisgalgel Chutz L'Arba Amos. It's not just the Tchum of Shabbos, the 2,000 Amma limit, but add another 4 amos. Because Rav always says you give a person with or without an Erev, we give him a radius of 4 amos. Aval L'toch Arba Amos Hanosein Eruvo Yeshlo Arba Amos. In other words, when a person is Kona Shvisa, we always give him automatically up front a radius of 4 amos. And he could always go 4 amos around the Eruv. That's called the Makom Shvisas Adam, is a radius of 4 amos in a circle around this place. And in addition to the 4 amos, we're going to give him, from the point of the Erev and on, another 2,000 amos. So we have 2,004 amos. So the case where the Mishnah disqualifies the Erev is where the wind carried the Erev 2,000 plus 4 amos away from his bias. Nafal olav agal, if the Erev got avalanched by stones, the Erev is not accessible and therefore it's invalid. Kasalka daitik, right now the Gemara assumes di boy motzi shokile, that at least physically, forget about the legal restrictions, but on a physical level, if he would take away these stones, move them with his hands to the left or to the right, he would expose the Erev, and the Erev becomes accessible. The reason why this Erev is invalid is because he's not allowed to legally, halachically, remove the stones to the right or to the left, because stones are mukta. Is lema masnisim de lo karebi di karebi omar called over shu mishum shmus lo gozol aben hashmoshos. The Iser mukta is only drabbanon. And Rebbe's sheet is that Ben Hashmoshes, you don't apply any Yisurim Drabbanan. So why is this Gal Shel Avonim inaccessible? Why is the Erev inaccessible? You can tell me because the Yisurim Mukta, but Ben Hashmoshes, there's no Yisurim Mukta. So why isn't the Erev valid? Unless by process elimination, this Mishnah reflects the Sheet of Chachom of Rebbe, that any Gzeir Drabbanan applies even Ben Hashmoshes. Hence the Erev is inaccessible by virtue of the Yisurim Mukta. Gemara says, "Afilu tema k'Rebbe." I can reconcile this mission with Rebbe. Lo tzricha. Why is this erev invalid? Deboi mara v'katzina. We're not talking about a case where he could lift the stones with his hands and move them to the right and to the left and expose his erev, make it accessible. But rather, we're talking about a case where, in order to expose the erev, which is so avalanched and covered by stones, he needs to bring a crane, he needs to bring a what's called clay chafira, which are digging utensils. You know, you'll see them up the street over here because, you know, they're building the light rail. You know, it's going to take another 20 years when they finish. But anyway, you see they have these gigantic caterpillars, you know, that dig into the ground. And digging into the ground is a malacha d'oraisa. The only way he could get access to his Eruv is by violating an Issa d'oraisa, which even according to Rebbe is prohibited bein hashmashos. So that's not an issue. So therefore, post facto, or de facto, he has no access to his Eruv. Because physically, he cannot just move the stones one way or the other. He must bring chafira materials in order to expose the Eruv. Let me just read to you the different descriptions here of these kalim. So these are two kalim that you need to excavate the Eruv. It's called a hoe and a pick. And here we're involved in a biblical violation, so that even according to Rebbe, we're talking about an impossible situation. He has no access to the Eruv. Now, what exactly is the malacha of excavating? Now, we have two possible candidate malachas. We have what's called Harisha, which is literally plowing. And plowing is a malacha which prepares the ground for sowing. And in this particular scenario, I'm not sure if he's planning to plant anything in the place where he left his Eruv. I'm not sure. There's another possibility. For example, if you were to dig a hole in your house, in your living room, then you would be chayv mishum aleches boneh. Why? Because by preparing the ground for building, that's called meleches boneh. Here, in our case, he doesn't seem to have kavana for anything except removing his eruv. Hey, he's in no way preparing the ground, neither for building nor for plowing. And therefore we have a Dover Shein HaMiskavim, which according to Reb Shimon is mutter. So why is this a problem? He says, Kanu vadai shete'ase hamalacha. He calls it a like a psik resha. I'm not exactly sure why this is a psik resha. Let's just see. He says, again, he's quoting the Ritva, Vadai she'te'ose hamalacha, af she'enu miskaven eleha. Now, I think we have to add a little bit more to this Ritva when he says, Vadai she'te'ose hamalacha, that it must be, I think, that he owns the karka. He says, Kan meduvar shakarka shelo. And I guess when you make, you know, holes or excavate the karka in this case, then it's definitely going to prepare the karka for planting. Okay, you know, there are some pieces of the puzzle here that I'm missing, but that's all I have here in the note. And I would raise another issue here called Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, because when you dig a hole in the ground, we have to ask ourselves the question whether you want the hole or not. He doesn't need the hole. He really just needs to get the Eruv out of the Gal Shel Avonim. So I don't know exactly why that's not an issue here. But in any event, the Gemara is assuming that even Rebbe would agree that Ben Hashmoshes, he has no access to the Eruv because he needs a Marav HaChatzina to excavate the Eruv, and that would be a violation of a Malacha Dorais. So that's as far as a Gal Shel Avonim is concerned. Now let's talk about the next case in the Mishnah, of Nisgalgil. Nisgalgil, where the wind carries the Eruv beyond the Tchum of Shabbos. Utsrichi, we need both. We need both the case of Gal and the case of Nisgalgil. The Itana Nisgalgil, if we only had the case where the wind blew the Eruv Chutz L'Tchum, we would think that that's where the Eruv is invalid. Mishum de lesa gabe. He has no physical access to the Eruv. The Eruv has been blown away. Abel Nafal of Hagal, in a case where it was avalanche, it was buried under an avalanche, the Isa Gabe, again, he doesn't have access to the Eruv because it's covered by the stones, but nevertheless, it's there. You know, it's within his reach, so to speak. Is Emel Evi Eruv? I might think that in this case, the Eruv is valid. Maybe it's enough to have the Eruv in your close proximity, even if it's covered in a way that it's inaccessible. So we need, therefore, the Chiddush of Nafal Olav Hagal. V'itana, and if the Mishnah had said Nafal Olav Hagal, only had told me the Chiddush of Nafal Olav Hagal, the Eruv is Batel, is that's only Mishum de Michse, because he doesn't even have visible eye contact with the Eruv. And not only that, it's so covered that he can't touch the air. Avol Nisgalgil, in the case where the wind blew it, maybe the wind will blow it back the other direction. Zimnin the Usi Zeko Maisile. Maybe the wind will blow it back and then it'll have access to the Eruv. Emalevi Eruv, I would think that the Eruv is valid. It's therefore I need the Mishnah to tell me the Chiddush in the case of Nisgalgil. Now, we just learned the Tosa Rush. The Tosa Rush said, if you recall, that in the case of Nisgalgil, even though walking Chutz L'Tchum is only Drabanan, which would be Mutar Ben Hashmashah, so he's allowed to, you know, run after the Eruv outside of the Tchum, but we said that then he has a problem because he's being Konish Visa too far away from his house, beyond the Tchum. So the Gemara actually could have, according to Tosfos Rush's logic, Gemara could have given a chiddush. Why did the Mishnah feel compelled to give me the case in this Galgal? So forget about the chiddush that since the wind might blow in both directions, therefore he may get, you know, re-accessible Eruv. The Gemara could just say that there's a tremendous chiddush in the case in this Galgal, that even though Tchumen is only Drabanan and we're holding like Rebbe, nevertheless the Eruv is Batel because he'll have to be Konish Visa too far away from his house. So that's what the Rishonim addressed the question, why the Gemara didn't give that explanation, that answer to why the Gemara preferred to give the answer that the Avinu would have been that maybe the wind will blow it back in the other direction. Tzricha, and that's the final conclusion of this Gemara. Oh, Nisraf, or Truma V'nitmeis. Now the Mishnah gives another two cases where the Eruv is batel, is invalid, because the Eruv went up in smoke, or because the Eruv was Truma and it became Tmea, and all this happened before nightfall, and therefore the Eruv is batel. So Gemara says, Lomali, why does the Mishnah need both cases? One, the case of Nisraf, and number two, the case of Trumash and Nitmes. And the Gemara answers, Tana Nisraf. And here we're going to turn to Lamed Hey Amid Beis.
You have to get off.
Odiacha Kocho de Rab Yossi. We want to see to what extent is Rab Yossi Mekil and he's Machshir the Eruv in a case of Suffolk, even in a case where now the Eruv is Vadai Eino Ba'olam. It's not in the world at all. It's been burnt up to a crisp. So we would have said, Ayinu Sovrim Shi Efshal Hamid Al Chazkaso. We don't really have a Chazaka, a halachic Chazaka with regard to the Eruv if it went up to smoke. We don't know whether it went up to smoke before Bein HaShmashos or after Bein HaShmashos. So we need that Chiddush that even in a case where the Eruv went up to smoke, Rabbi Yossi would still insist that Suffolk Eruv is a valid Eruv. Tana Truma Shenitme. So why do I need the Chiddush of Truma that became Tmeya? Even a Kohen is not allowed to eat this Truma.
Lo dicha kochen de Rabbi Meir. We would have said that at least on a halachic level, the truma has a chizkas tahora. We know it was tahora at one point. We're going to delay its change of status to becoming tmeya at the last possible moment, and we're going to assume it became tmeya mishach hashecha at night. And therefore, by being mamid ukiach es koso, we're going to assume the banish mashals that the truma was still tar. And the chiddush now of our mission is that no, we're not going to rely on this chazak according to Rabbi Meir. We have a bona fide suffix. We have to be choshesh that maybe it was already tameh at the time of Bein HaShmosu. We have to be machmir, and we're going to have to tell the person that he's going to allow to go back to his bias, but he's not going to be allowed to use the Erev to go beyond the tchum of his bias. And that's why we need both chidushim in the Mishnah.